I've got the privilege. We've had to swap it around a little bit because of people being tested positive and all that, but got the privilege to launch this series this morning, and really trust that as I try and paint quite a colourful picture that I want to paint this morning, that will just really build on incredible words, two words, He won't. Imagine writing a song called He Won't. And yet, the power of those two words to us people of faith are just remarkable and incredible. And if you hold on to nothing but that from this morning, then in whatever darkness, in whatever hole you find yourself in whatever maze of misunderstanding, just go back to those two words, He won't. So many people and situations that can let us down, that we get a bit discouraged with because of the way the journey takes. But when it comes to God, I just love the fact that I can rely on Him 24/7, 365, waking, sleeping, whatever season of life. That's just fabulous. So, mind matters. Just want to, this morning really, as I've suggested already, want to paint quite a colourful picture for us under this title of Blueprint. Next week, Juliet's going to pick up on it and talk around some sort of figures, stats that will be very, very interesting and fascinating in the light of how we're going to pursue this through the Bible over the next few weeks. It's going to take us pretty much up to Easter Sunday. But just roll with me here, because there's want to cram quite a lot in a short period of time. If you go, I'm going to go sort of back to the future. So if you read Paul's writings in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle, the guy who wrote the bulk of the New Testament, who laid a foundation for Christian faith, following Christ going back to heaven from earth and beginning to establish the churches under his ministry and leadership. There's so many things, if you read those epistles, there's so many things that he's sort of churning out. He's answering questions. He's trying to sort of drop some theology in there. He's trying to encourage them. He's trying to do what we do here and grow bigger people. And some statements that he uses are really deeply provocative. And I want to use one of them to then jettison back into the book of Genesis, because in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, verse 17, there's a verse there that probably a number of us here have quoted, and we know once I begin to roll it out, you know it so well. The chapter and the context around it is, I suppose, under the word of reconciliation. Paul's talking to these Corinthian Christians and suggesting to them that in their hearts and lives, the faith that they've taken on board is a message of God reconciling, pulling back together the relationship that has been damaged and lost through sin. And right in the middle of it all, in suggesting it to these people, he says these well-used words. If anyone is in Christ, interesting he says that, it's a phrase he uses often. We often refer to Jesus being in us. Paul switches it round and talks about us being in Christ. He is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. If you were to sort of dig a little bit without being a sort of Greek student, then you would understand that Paul uses this term quite intentionally. I suppose, you know, it's not ignorant of me to say that Paul is intentional in everything that he says, but there's times when he drops things in there to try and create something of a response. Because when we hear the word creation, it doesn't take long probably before our minds flip back to Genesis. And when we think creation, we think Adam, Eve, we think water, we think land, we think 7 days, we think all the things that God spoke into being. And Paul is trying to force that upon these people, upon this sort of mix of Greek and Jews, people who were philosophers, people who had great history, people who knew the Bible somewhat, or the Old Testament, and some who didn't know it so well, it wasn't their history. But the one thing they did understand collectively was the idea of creation. Whatever they believed, whatever they took on board as to exactly how it happened in a structured, formatted way, isn't quite important for Paul at this time. He just wants them to go back to like the original blueprint. So let me take you back there. This great verse, Genesis 3 verse 8, just hum this round in your mind for a moment or two. The man and his wife, Adam and Eve as we know them, heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Sounds like one of those idyllic August days, you know, the pressure's off a little bit, we've got some holiday time, you know, the all that sort of reflection of just a beautiful day ahead. What shall we do? Well, perhaps one suggestion for many people is, you know, let's go for a walk somewhere. Let's see a bit of landscape. Let's venture up to wherever it might be. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Just try and picture that. Sounds. Like many of you here, we have a dog, and her hearing, I think generally a dog's hearing is what, 4 times the distance they can hear than what a human being can hear. And they're a lot more focused in exact location of where the sound is coming from, whereas we can go like, yeah, something somewhere. So we've got our drive is a gravel drive, and you know, you don't particularly hear it. You know, there's a door in a hallway before the room. So, but you know that somebody's driven up the drive because suddenly Flair sticks her ears up. She stands up and she's focused towards the door. Great, don't need a doorbell. Flair's told me there's somebody on the drive. This statement here sounds quite dramatic to us. And it's recorded partly because of the sequence of events that's about to follow as sin is sort of unveiled, unfortunately. But this, the statement that we read here, it's a daily routine. It's the 1-6-8 for Adam, Eve, and God. It's the blueprint. The daily routine, it was dialogue. It was intimacy. It was mutual delight. I mean, is there a little offshoot here that when we are in situations and we are looking for God, is the lesson here perhaps to first and foremost listen for God? Because sometimes we say, we in situations, I can't see God here. But perhaps God has sort of said, just close your eyes, just have that sense of faith that we've just sung about. And just listen. It's built on what we understand of God's word, which introduces us to God's character, which is the nature of how we get to know him. And so they hadn't gone, oh, look, there he is. They heard the Lord as he was walking in the garden of the in the cool of the day. Dialogue, intimacy, mutual delight. But let's build around that a little bit in these verses in Genesis and just have a look at this at home if you get a chance. And I'm going to introduce you to what we're going to do in life groups this week from this. You see, it wasn't just an inadvertent, you know, they're wandering around and suddenly, who is this? However you picture that God appeared to them, there's many suggestions in many commentaries that it was physically, that it was more cloud, that it was more presence. But that doesn't matter too much. It was familiar for them. And as these early chapters of Genesis unfold, I just found a great beauty about all of this. Genesis 2 verse 19. Now, the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man, to Adam, to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. That's just beautiful. I can imagine perhaps, I can imagine just a little while later when sort of Eve suddenly appears on the scene and they're having this discussion and she's like, so why did you call that an elephant? Because it looks like an, yeah. I mean, you just can't see it as anything else, can you? Some very descriptive ones, ain't there, that we use in everyday life. Sloth. Why do you call it the yeah? So you've got a blank screen and God, I don't know, how does this work? Is God sort of, you know, sat in some office somewhere, sat on a bench, he's just sat in the garden leaning against some tree? Adam, here mate, got another one for you. Try that thing here, Rose, it's got a big mane on it. Can't decide, it's got quite a growl, I don't know, you know. What? Lion, does that sound good? And God's, you know, they're having this sort of conversation together as they're actually shaping creation together for the first time. And then it rolls on a few verses later, Genesis 2:22. Then the Lord God made woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. I don't know, just roll with me here. So I've got one here for you. What do you call this? Oh. And I've got somebody here as a companion for you. And I don't know. There's, you know, we could go around and conjecture and all sorts of responses as Adam looks at his wife Eve and whether, you know, he was drooling or whether he was like, what is this? All these have got four. She's got two legs, you know, and other bits that others haven't. There's just this incredible blueprint that's set about how God and man should interact together. And this is what sort of struck me about it. Adam was welcomed into the creation picture as a co-laborer. He was actually given the responsibility to help define the nature of the world he was going to live in. Get that? He was given the responsibility to help to define the nature of the world he was going to live in. I think this reveals the heart and the intention, the blueprint of God in an incredibly beautiful way. We know, we've said it a million times in pulpits around the world, God did not create us to be robots. We were made in his image to be co-laborers, working with him to demonstrate his goodness over all that he has made. And just in these few simple verses that I hope are conjuring up some pictures of how this worked, we see a definite blueprint. There's shared responsibility, there's shared ownership, there's shared companionship. As you move on from this verse about them looking for the Lord in the cool of the day as he walked, you perhaps know where this leads, because the next verse, Genesis 3 and verse 9, I love this. God cries out, where are you? in a just a lovely family, fatherly, working together way. This isn't some boss dominating. He's aware that they're probably not where they regularly are. He knows what's going on. He's God. But he's wanting them to share some of the story of why and how and where this is going to lead. So they've gone and hidden, you know it, because of sin that's come, that suddenly they discover that they're naked and they're embarrassed about it. And God wanders onto the scene. He's watched it all. And he's like, where are you? It's like how God speaks with Yorkshire accent. Where is he? They'd hidden. Why had they hidden? Not just because of the sin, obviously, you know, there's the obvious sort of recount of what went on here, but they knew God so well, they knew what his reaction would be to how they felt at this moment. Wow. This is much deeper than just, oh no, we've blown it now, get out of the way because he is going to just burn us with a word. No. They'd walked this path together. They'd been a journey. They'd been this intimacy, this dependency, so that once they realized they were naked and they sort of got a glimpse of what had happened, they knew that they somehow, I don't know what word came into the mind, that they were now going to suffer the displeasure of God, the disappointment, the distance. It's the power of relationship. It's you and your family and the people that are close round. You know how they're going to react to something more than you know how I would react to something, even if you know me fairly well. And therefore, you adjust to suit the situation, don't you, in any relationship. But we know that a bulldozer had come and smashed its way through the development of what God was growing here. And ever since that moment, this message of reconciliation back to the blueprint has been the mission, the goal, the adventure of God. There are hundreds of verses. Let me give you just a few, Old and New Testament. James wrote, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Wow. Get me back to the blueprint. Isaiah wrote, if anyone is thirsty, here, come to me and you can drink. David wrote in that great Psalm 139, where shall I flee from your presence? If I go up there, you're there. If I go down there, you're there. If I take wings and fly out to the middle of nowhere, even there. That sense of God and closeness. The author of the Hebrews wrote, let us with confidence draw near to God. And Jesus, speaking of his death, to culminate all of this and draw it back together, he said, if I am lifted up, it's the word again, I will draw men to me. You see, what you most trust God for right now is where he means for you to draw close to him. He's persistent. How many songs do we sing about him chasing us? He does. Why? Because all that was back there in that day is the blueprint for how he wants to live. And it's what Christ has reconciled us back to. And the reason why we're talking about mind matters is because sin has played its ugly role in society and damaged so much of the image of God that some of the thoughts that we have and some of the perspectives that we take are a million miles away from the blueprint that God had established, this intimacy, this codependency. And so over these next weeks, we're going to be just addressing that and talking about it and seeing how it works and how we can realign ourselves so that we can get to a point where we are sitting with God as joint co-workers in that intimacy and interdependency, that familiarity that comes with his presence. There's been glimpses of it throughout creation. Three obvious ones. There's Enoch, and the Bible actually records this. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. Oh, what does that look like? David, the Bible records powerfully, he was a man after God's own heart. What a statement to say about a human being. And God absolutely must have delighted in that. The blueprint is being reignited here through Enoch, through David. And one that we've thrown to the life group host this week, Moses. Exodus 33 verse 11, when all that's going on around the calf being produced and everything. And it just says this in verse 11, the Lord spoke to Moses as one would speak to a friend. This is not diluting God. This is not disrespecting him. This is not making him any lower than he is. This is something about the heart of God drawing us back into the beauty and intimacy of relationship that he designed right from day one. And so Moses spoke as one would speak as a friend. These are the questions that we're going to talk around in our life groups in the next week or so. Has the fall caused irreversible damage to the purity of intimacy with God? Are there ways to recognize and develop true friendship, communion with God? In the light of this, are there adjustments to be made to our dialogue with God? Even the language that we use as we share in prayer with God. Sometimes perhaps speak to him almost like the CEO of the Kingdom of God Limited. And I think he just goes, come on, Steve. We're friends. Is the original blueprint fully achievable after the fall? I was a bit disappointed when I wrote down here glimpses. Because that suggests that some people in history have touched a very special moment that was that new creation. Enoch, Moses, David, others. Why not you? Why not a glimpse of that through me? If you're old enough, you'll know when I say the green cross code. You got that one, Mark? Green cross code. Anybody give me the three words? I heard it. Be brave. Stop, look, listen. He stood there. Remember the guy on the advert there? Big green cross like some first aid box. Let's just swap it around a little bit. Because going back to the verse in Genesis, perhaps, you know, for the sake of glimpsing in our lives something of what God wants to generate, perhaps it's stop, listen, look. That was the routine for Adam, Eve, God, together. The plan that was to be forever and ever and ever. Man living alongside God, yet under God's domain, but in friendship with Him. A love relationship, not a contractual commitment. I'm not simply obeying a set of rules, I'm in a loving relationship. But every relationship has boundaries and expectations. Of course it does. If it was a day in the life of Adam and Eve, let's pick up, guys, on the blueprint. Let it be a day in your life beginning today. So that if you get a few moments, just break down the barrier and just talk to God as a friend. Begin like that. And just feel the warmth of His presence as we worship in a moment. Do some of that. Worship together as though this is me and Him. We're in a room. Yeah, there might be a big crowd of other people around here, but Lord, this is me and you. This is our intimate moment. This is that love relationship. This is what you mean. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the cool of the day. I want us to just take a few moments to worship and just, whatever the right phrase is, just mull, stew, linger in that image that I've tried to paint this morning. And I just want to pray that each of us will, if we feel we part there, then we'll go a bit further. But there's always, the biggest room in the house is always the room for improvement, isn't it? So we want to grow further with God. We want to be more intimate. You might consider yourself a real, you and God, bang, we're together. Well, just push that up another level. After all, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow. And if God had a wallet, your picture would be in it. If you had a fridge, your picture would be on there. That's how much He loves us. Oh, Father, close your eyes for a moment. Oh, Jesus. Come to us, Lord. We don't want this to be mechanical. We want this to be relational. Draw us to you now, Lord, with the wooings of the Holy Spirit. I pray for each person, both here in the building and online, who is listening to this now, that you would just call us afresh. Not to renew our vows in that sense, but just to open fresh dialogue. To use language that is intimate and personal. We're not put off, Lord, by your glory and power. We realize it's all for our betterment, for our well-being, for our wholeness. Come and touch each heart now. May we be a people who not just know God, but love God. That we walk with you, that we're friends with you. That the cool of the day is our place.